KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies here in Atlantic. It's 71 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy, warm, and humid. A high around 90 with winds southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. A new trial has been set for a former Western Iowa youth softball coach previously found guilty of sex abuse. 49-year-old John Osborne again faces trial November 15th on counts accusing him of sexually abusing a 14-year-old girl. Osborne was convicted of four counts in the spring of 2015 and had faced up to 40 years in prison. But the judge ordered a new trial when evidence surfaced before Osborne could be sentenced. A new trial has been delayed as prosecutors appealed. Last Tuesday, the Iowa Court of Appeals upheld the judge's order granting a new trial. Council Bluffs police say Osborne and the girl engaged in sex acts when the girl stayed at Osborne's house for a sleepover with his daughter. A traffic stop in Red Oak Saturday afternoon resulted in the arrest of 28-year-old Eric Gomez Gonzalez of Red Oak. Red Oak police say Gonzalez's SUV was pulled over for an equipment violation, and a records check indicated he had a revoked Nebraska driver's license. Gonzalez was taken into custody at around 2:30 p.m. for driving while revoked. He was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. A traffic stop Saturday in Fremont County resulted in a 25-mile-long pursuit that ended with the arrest of a man and woman from Nebraska. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office has a Fremont County K-9 unit attempted to stop a sedan driven by Jerry Coleman of Omaha near the Iowa-Missouri border on Interstate 29. Coleman proceeded to elude the deputy at speeds of over 100 miles per hour. Troopers with the Iowa State Patrol and deputies of the Mills County Sheriff's Office joined in the chase. Authorities were able to lay down stop sticks near the Bartlett exit of I-29 and disable the vehicle. Coleman and his passenger, Tiffany Roddy, also of Omaha, were placed under arrest. Coleman faces charges that include felony eluding and drug possession, along with numerous traffic offenses. Roddy was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. Both were transported to the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center and held on bond. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office said also that around 11:45 p.m. Saturday, a deputy stopped a St. Joseph, Missouri man. And upon further investigation, Joseph Tong Dutt was placed under arrest for felony OWI sixth offense and driving while revoked for OWI. He was brought to the jail and held on a $6,000 cash bond. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office says a traffic stop Sunday morning resulted in the arrest of a Nebraska woman. Tisha Kasten of Omaha was arrested after she was found to be under the influence of alcohol. She was charged with OWI first offense and brought to the Fremont County Jail, where her bond was set at $1,000. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, an 82-year-old statue that's on the National Registry of Historic Places will be rededicated today in the northwest Iowa town of Lakeview. The 9-foot-high statue is of Chief Blackhawk, who headed the Sauk tribe, which roamed the area in the 1830s. Lois Long with the Lakeview Historic Preservation Commission says the Lakeview Commercial Club unveiled the statue on Labor Day in 1934.
They commissioned Harry E. Stinson, who at the time was at Iowa U, and he was working with the CWA program, which was under the auspices of Grant Wood and was funded with monies from the Roosevelt administration.
The statue was badly damaged before it was restored in 1999 and placed on the National Registry of Historic Places 1 year later.
Over the years, there has been wear and tear on the statue. His nose was almost worn off, and in his arm he carried a hawk, but we unfortunately have vandals around, and the hawk's head was broken off.
The Chief Blackhawk statue is now in much better shape, and the rededication was scheduled for today following improvements to the grounds surrounding the sculpture.
A sidewalk has been placed around the statue, and it is now handicap accessible.
The statue rededication ceremony is set for 1 o'clock today. Elsewhere in state news, Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson held his first rally in Iowa on Saturday afternoon, promising to be the voice of reason as the country's chief executive.
The strategy is to win it outright. And I know that might sound outlandish, but to do that, we have to be in the presidential debates. And given that 70% of Americans don't know who I am, if I'm in the presidential debates, that 70% number will change to zero. Everybody will know who I am.
Johnson served two terms as governor of New Mexico. He defeated the mayor of Albuquerque to win his second race after debating his opponent 28 times. Johnson says if he does get on the debate stage with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, he'll employ the same strategy he used in New Mexico.
That I'd be talking about issues as opposed to throwing rocks, and that isn't anything new. Having never been involved in politics before, I didn't throw any rocks. I didn't mention my opponent in print, radio, or television the two times that I ran for governor.
However, Johnson is saying the names of the two major party presidential candidates in 2016.
Trump gets elected, Clinton gets elected. Does anybody believe that the polarity is going to get any better? Nobody believes that. It's going to be worse than ever.
Johnson was a Republican when he served as governor, but he says he got the boot from the Republican Party because he was socially inclusive. He ran as the Libertarian Party's 2012 presidential nominee, getting about 1 million votes. A recent national poll suggested Johnson's 2016 candidacy is gaining more traction.
Doing the math on 12%, that's 16 million voters. That's a significant chunk of the voting population. So I think it only has one direction to go, and that's up, because the more people that do recognize who we are and what we've done, that it's a good thing. We're the voice of reason.
More than 400 people gathered on Grandview University's campus early Saturday afternoon to hear Johnson speak. The sound system crashed briefly, and while Johnson waited for it to be fixed, the crowd chanted, "Let Gary debate." Johnson closed by offering the crowd this comeback when they were told a vote for him this November is a wasted vote.
Wasting your vote is voting for somebody you don't believe in. That's wasting your vote.
During his speech, Johnson said it was time for term limits for members of Congress and told the crowd the best way to get pink slip for lobbyists in Washington, D.C. would be to get rid of the federal income tax and corporate tax and replace it with a national sales tax. The board that oversees Iowa's three public universities says its plan for a two-new-year budget system will bring more predictability to tuition expenses for students and their families, but the unpredictability of available state funding could complicate that effort. The Iowa Board of Regents, which provides support to the University of Iowa, Iowa State University, and University of Northern Iowa, announced recently a plan to fund the budget years ending in 2018 and 2019 with a combination of tuition increases and new state dollars. The board will continue to seek money for 1 year ahead. It may become increasingly difficult to determine how much money the Iowa legislature will allocate each year to higher education. Student representatives expressed frustration when the board voted in July to raise tuition. The Beast of Burton Challenge is coming to three Iowa food banks this week. Food Bank of Iowa spokesman Danny Ackright explained the background of the challenge.
The Beast of Burton Challenge is the initiative of one woman, Jess Curdy, who had the inspiration to travel to all 200 food banks within the Feeding America network. In addition to traveling to all the food banks, she's running 100 marathons on this journey. And the whole point of it is really to bring attention to the fact that millions of Americans struggle with hunger every day.
Curdy plans stops in Northeast Iowa after visiting the Food Bank of Iowa in Des Moines.
Jess is visiting the Food Bank of Iowa on Tuesday, and following that, she'll visit HACAP Food Reservoir in Hiawatha on Wednesday, and the Northeast Iowa Food Bank in Waterloo on Thursday.
Curdy does two things when she visits those food banks.
Every food bank she visits, she gets a tour to see exactly, you know, how the food bank does their work. And then she does a volunteer opportunity. So that may be, helping with some of the administrative work. It could be sorting food. It could be helping process fresh produce or meat. Anything that the food bank needs, she's willing to help with.
Curdy hopes to spur others to support food banks.
It boils down to the fact that anybody anywhere can take action to help with hunger. You don't have to live in a community with a food bank based in your community in order to take action. There are small food pantries and other services all across the country. Pretty much every community in the United States has some of these resources. And her point is that everybody can and should get involved with those and help their neighbors get the food they need.
Curdy has visited around 150 food banks since 2014 and completed 77 marathons. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.